Welcome to Place Matters, a podcast about the intersection of race, place, and poverty, where we explore the belief that the path towards ending inequity and promoting prosperity is through the work of holistic neighborhood development. Welcome to the next installment of our series on FCS's three pillars. This series will focus on the pillar of mixed income housing. I'm Sean Duncan, the Director of Training and Consulting for FCS and the host for Place Matters. Housing is hard work. From the cost and complications of acquisitions to the challenges of sustainable development to the complexities of the market, housing is not for the faint of heart. But just getting housing built and made affordable is not the whole story. If you don't care well and deeply for the people who buy or rent from you, your housing may solve one problem just to create a dozen more. Unfortunately, it is a common story for a housing development to get built with great fanfare about the number of people who now have access to affordable housing. Then, within months, reports come out about all the problems this development has created. This comes down to focusing only on the sticks and bricks and financing, but not focusing on the people. Ensuring that individuals are housed in ways that leads to flourishing people and places means we have to care deeply for the people to ensure that they have all the support necessary for succeeding in place. And joining me today to talk about how we care well for those who buy and rent from us are two of the rock stars on the FCS Mixed Income Housing Team, Shell Stafford, our Family Services Manager, and Ashley Edwards, our Resident Services Manager. So in this series, we're talking a lot about our mixed income housing work, which is there's a lot of financing work, there's a lot of development work, there's a lot of the big kind of what some people call the sticks and the bricks side of housing. But you guys have the people side of our housing. So say a little bit about what you do day in and day out that has you interacting with the residents of our housing.
As housing service manager, basically I am in charge of the property part.
Okay.
And also the people part for the property, which is maintenance.
Okay.
So basically, once or twice a week, I ride the neighborhood. I look at all of our rentals. And what I'm looking for, I'm looking to see if their grass is cut, looking to see if I need to get out and look closer, if I spot anything like, may look like the, riding wood or something.
Okay.
So basically, I maintain, help to, my eyes help to maintain the property.
Okay.
To keep it curb and visually appealing.
Okay.
Also, the other side of that is making sure that if any tenant has a request maintenance-wise, that I get that in the system and get with my contractors and we get whatever they have or whatever the problem is fixed as quick as possible.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, so for my specific role, I'm the resident services manager. Mm-hmm. And so my role, Shell and I actually work we work hand in hand, of course, but my role is more so on the people side, working with the residents and their accounts.
Okay.
So anything concerning maybe their lease in particular, lease management, if they need some sort of assistance, whether it's rental assistance, utility assistance. And as of late, we have been trying to hone in more so on like the social side of their housing needs. And that basically entails getting them out of the house or getting them away from their everyday hustle and bustle. And so we are partnering with a couple other organizations, such as the Georgia Aquarium, Slumu Institute, just to provide these families just a way out, you know, a way to get away from their everyday life. In addition to that, I assist with anything concerning their account management.
Okay.
So that's in regard to the lease itself and any financials concerning their account. And that's for tenants and homeowners.
Okay, yeah. And so, like, you know, when we... think about just the challenges of being in this day in and day out with folks. What motivates you to do this? What, and Shell, you've been around longer than anybody. Like, we need to rebrand FCS as just Shell Community Strategies. What drives you to want to do this kind of work? Why do you do it?
I think for me, I've seen all aspects of FCS. Mm-hmm. I've worked in practically all aspects of FCS. From the CED side, I was at the old grocery store. Mm-hmm. Also CED, the old family store. And then from the office side or the administrative side, accounting side. So on the other side of what Ashley is saying about the homeowners and the tenants accounts. So I've seen the highs and the lows of that. Mm. And so when the opportunity came to me, it really was a no-brainer, even though it was a little scary leaving accounting because accounting is numbers. Mm. It's things that I can add and subtract and find out, problem solve, and it doesn't have feelings, not so to speak. Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with people, you have to you have to be very, very leery of feelings, and you have to be sensitive and empathetic, and then sometimes I can be a little over empathetic. but I think I do this. Now, I know I do this because the one thing that brings me like total joy, like this is why I know I do this. When a homeowner has paid off their mortgage, it's this thing that it's like that last payment. They'll bring it in, and then I'll explain to them the next step of us filing all their paperwork, their deeds, doing their quick claims. And then I'll call you in about a month or so. So if you need to, if you get, feel like things aren't, it's not moving as fast, just call me. Or if you feel like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. But then once all that process is over, that 30 to 60 day process of that, and then I call them back in and we sit down and we go over all their deeds. And then I write them this letter that shows them their insurances and all of that.
Yeah.
And the last two homeowners, Ms. Wilson and Ms. Owani, that was so special because we had like board members in the office at the time. Jim was here. So all of these people got to take pictures and talk to those two homeowners.
Yeah.
And that was even more special than them just coming to get their paperwork.
Yeah.
And,
That's awesome.
That's what I enjoy about this job, just seeing that them going from A all the way to Z. Now they're like, they are not only in home ownership, now they are a homeowner.
They own it. Wow. Yeah.
I would say for me, I always like to say real estate and I didn't choose real estate and housing.
Okay.
Real estate and housing chose me.
Okay.
I honestly feel like it runs through my blood.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, my interest is spiked in any type of situation or conversation concerning just someone's living, their housing, all of that. I feel like everything in our lives revolves around our housing. You know, if that's not stable, if that's not secure, then it can cause a domino effect to everything else in life. I feel like home is, or it should be anyway, your place of peace, your place of refuge. And if you don't have that, then it's hard to have everything else. Mm-hmm. And so just kind of approaching it from that perspective, that's what really keeps me going every day. Because I know how I feel when I walk into my home. And I also understand what that does for other people. And just being that person that can help them, regardless of what their situation is. If it's something concerning housing, whether you're trying to rent or buy, or simply preserve the house that you're in, that's really what keeps me going every day.
I love
and
that.
And helps me show up.
Mm. You know, it's a pretty hot topic in Atlanta and most metropolitan areas these days to talk about the lack of affordable housing. And there's a lot of folks who are housing insecure, not to mention those who are homeless. They're without home right now. So there's, you know, the problem is real and it's big. But I think even in the name of it, affordable housing, there's kind of this assumption that the only problem is affordability. But I think what you guys have seen and what you've worked with is like, even if it's affordable, that's not the only barrier people are facing. It's not as if you can afford it, problem solved. But what would you say for people who are trying to figure out this affordable housing thing? What are the other barriers besides affordability that folks are having to walk through?
Well, I think when people think of affordable and what is affordable to them may not be affordable for someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
So just, what we are dealing with right now in Atlanta is that what they say is affordable for a studio apartment to call those apartments across from, and I can't think of the name of them. I see them. They're across from Daddy D's. Mm. Those, I actually looked those up. Like a studio apartment starts at that complex at $1,500. Mm. Okay. That means that you do not have any walls between you and your living room.
Yeah, yeah.
So a one bedroom, I think, was at 19.
Oh, wow.
So this is for people who have their income times three, that's affordable for them.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about, on average, the families that we work with, their income start at about 35 and go down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're working with anywhere people that are at 30 to 50% AMI most of the time.
Yeah.
We do have at least five residents or tenants that are above that 50%, but that's, you know, that's what people have to understand is that affordable for you is not necessarily affordable for someone else.
Yeah, and AMI, that average median income, like that's kind of even an unfair measure even with that, right? It's it's like Bill Gates can walk in the room and I'm like, I don't think I want my AMI compared to this guy. I mean, like the levels can just be so arbitrary at times, or even when we talk about the federal poverty line, like there are so many people that are above that line that no way would they say, yeah, I'm good, I'm fine, yeah.
I think some of the other barriers outside of affordability would be, one, mental health, family dynamic, maybe, just things that people, you deal with it every day, but it's not like in your face every day, you know, or if it is, it's like you've kind of gotten into this notion or this routine that, you know, I'm just trying to make it to tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to worry about that today. Mm-hmm. And I think mental health most definitely falls under that. Just kind of like a back burner kind of topic that we don't really deal with or we don't really talk about much. Mm-hmm. So for me, I would say that's the next biggest barrier besides affordability.
Hey guys, just want to jump in here real quick with an invitation. If you want to bring FCS's principles and practices to your neighborhood, we can take you and your local partners through a 2-year multi-sector cohort process that we call City Shapers. Right now, this effort is being partially funded by Lilly Endowment Inc., so it is a great time to jump in. We have taken 3 communities through this process so far and would love to bring it to your neighborhood next. Contact us today to learn more at fcsministries.org. I think it's one thing to say, okay, like the vulnerability that you are feeling is with your housing. Okay, now you're housed. It's affordable. It's healthy home. It's a safe home. It's a beautiful home. But you can, like mental health, there are other vulnerabilities that can impact your housing situation. What do we do at FCS that tries to take into account some of those other vulnerabilities versus just like, hey, we gave you an affordable apartment, you didn't pay, sorry. You know, like, what are we doing to take into account there's a whole other world that people are living in that's not just about their housing?
I think basically what we're doing, and I have to quote this from Cynthia, and I hope I say this and say this right. Housing FCS, housing on the FCS, we never want to put an individual in a situation where it would make them worse. That's what I have been as being under Cynthia's wing.
Yeah.
It's like you never want to put a person in a situation that's just going to make matters worse.
Yeah.
So I think here at FCS, what we try and do, we make sure that we kind of look at the whole picture. We're not just looking at can they afford three times the rent, but, you know, and, you know, I was told, you know, ask. If they say, no, I don't want to ask that question, that's okay. But at least, you know, Cynthia has taught me to ask. So, Ms. So-and-so, I know, I see here that you can afford the $1,100, but from, you know, your pay stubs, you know, you're gonna need at least another four because you need to pay at this particular unit. You need to pay light, gas, and water. Will you have a problem with that? So the pay stub may cover the $1,100, but in your mind, you're gonna like, but how is she's gonna cover
what's everything else?
Everything else. So that's, you know, we do have to be honest with ourselves and ask, and we do have to be transparent with the tenant, the potential tenant that we may have a, you know, like, oh, I got some concerns about her. Let me just ask, because, you know, there are times when we do everything by the book, and then there, as you know, with the COVID, things happen, and then some tenants, they had to take jobs that were less than what they were making, or things happened during that time where now they've got more debt. So we look at things, and we never want to put a person, make a situation worse.
So part of preventing future vulnerability is making sure you're setting them up to succeed, where I think there's examples of neighborhoods like South Atlanta being intentionally excluded from investment, but there's also like a predatory inclusion. Like, I don't mind including you and like taking money from you that I know you're going to be set up to fail, but it's okay. I got my profit and I'm fine. But there's a, since we were saying like, we want everyone housed in a healthy way, but we're going to make sure it's done so that 6 months, 6 years from now, you're able to maintain, you know, this situation. That's really good. What else do you see, Ashley, for how do we take into account the other vulnerabilities?
First off, we're mindful of those things. I think that there are a lot of organizations or property management companies that they don't care. You know, they don't care. They're not, you know, they're not even mindful of the other.
Just pay your rent.
Pay your rent. Just pay your rent. And if you can't go, you know, and we definitely have the opposite approach. So, you know, at the end of the day, we are operating a business here. And there are some, you know, from the financial side, things that we have to take into account as to how we approach these families. But at the same time, it's also being sensitive to everything else that could possibly be going on with them. And so when it comes to late payments or non-payments, we try to start by at least having a conversation with them to try to figure out what exactly is causing the delinquency. And then if we can you know, come to a conclusion as to what that is, then okay, well, what can we do to help with that specifically? And, you know, like I was saying earlier with the soft touches is, you know, getting these families out the house, you know, away from, you know, getting up every day, going to work, coming back home, taking care of the kids, getting away from that and, you know, being able to get out and enjoy their family socially. And then I would say like some of the funds that we have set up specifically for assistance. And I mean, I've seen, again, going back to what Shell was saying earlier about Cynthia and just how she delegates, you know, she'll we've had tenants that, you know, maybe the rent was a struggle, but they were able to figure that out. But they figured that out, and it's like, okay, well, do you have groceries? You know, are your utilities paid? Is your phone on? You know, things of that sort. And like Shell said, just simply asking those questions, because for me, I think it's beyond a pride thing. It's more so, I mean, in some situations it might be pride, you know, that people, they may not want to share what they're really dealing with or what they need help with. But, I think beyond that, it's personal, you know, how many times how many times have I been late to pay a bill and I'm not calling saying, hey, you know, now if you call me, I'll answer the phone, but I'm not volunteering that information. So like Shell said, just digging deeper and trying to figure out exactly what their need is, even if it's beyond their housing needs, and catering to that specifically.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's something about like, yes, there's a huge financial part of affordability, getting in and staying in. And so I think FCS has done a good job, whether it's like down payment assistance or stepping forward funds, like us thinking about how do we make sure the financial pieces are there, but also saying like there are a dozen other things that are not about money, you know, that families are walking through. And just to say like we're going to have that soft touch, high touch, you know, walk with people. It makes me think of, you know, Pam is often, we're quoting a lot of people. We should let Pam and Cynthia know we're quoting them today. You know, with Haven that just opened our multi-unit apartment complex, Pam would say, don't call it an apartment complex. It is an apartment community. And I think we're insistent to say, like, we're not just trying to get people in houses. We want them to be at home, right? We don't want them just to be residents. We want them to be neighbors, right? How are you seeing us do that? Like we're helping, we don't want just people house. We want them in home. We want them not be just a resident. We want them to be a neighbor. What are you seeing as some of the things that's helping us to do that kind of work?
I think the programs that we have, the youth group. So I think that helps with neighboring. So the South Atlanta Youth Group ran by Michelle. Pam's Treat Street, our yearly toy store. We do well. I've given that to Ashley. So we do a newsletter, and we let them know everything that's going on. We try to as much as we can. What's going on in the neighborhood? But I think being genuine, because I literally have walked down a couple of tenants' house. I'm there for, you know, to fix water heater or whatever. And then I'm offered cornflakes. Like, literally, I got a box of cornflakes from a tenant.
Yeah.
Do you eat Frosted Flakes? do you want it? well, I don't want to give you nothing. I want it. I think being genuine with the tenant, that is a part of neighboring. Letting them know that, okay, and sometimes this tenant may come to Ashton and I, and they may be upset that day. But we got to go like, okay, they upset. So let's listen to them. But let's also, you know, look at it from their point of view, and then let's jump right back on the bull and get this thing fixed and then continue to go from there. And that's neighboring. That's really is neighboring. When you can, like, you know, they are angry, they have a right to be angry. Or maybe they don't have a right to be angry. Maybe it's their fault as what's going on, but we can't like.
But there's other things, right?
Not just the hot water heater. There's something else going on with them. You know, then while you're standing there with hot water heater or waiting for the contract to finish with the hot water heater, then you find out, well, Michelle, you know, my son, he did this and he got in trouble in school. And my other son, he did this. And then so now you done went from them being angry with you about the hot water heater to listening to what their week has been like. So it's just that type of
neighborhood. How many landlords do that, right?
They ain't gonna stand there. You know, a lot of people or you know, they let the contractor in, and then they go and sit outside, you know, they don't interact with the tenant. But I think we do a great job of that, even when we're like in the midst of to and from going into meetings or going out the door to, you know, go and look at a property. I think our whole staff does that. We interact very well with all of our tenants or homeowners. Mm-hmm. And that's just, and I don't think that's something that Cynthia has taught any of us. I think that that's something that may have drawn Cynthia to us to have us on the team because that's who we are.
That's just a cultural.
It's just that's value, just our norm. Housing. That's just the housing culture. We take in and we sit and we listen to our tenant.
Yeah.
And regardless, they may chew me out. My eyebrows may be gone by the time I leave the house. But that next time I come, we still talking about whatever, you know. Yeah. So, but I think that's what intentional neighboring. Mm. Don't allow whatever that moment is to define how you view the tenant or the homeowner going forward. It's a moment. It happened. Let it go. Mm. Start over.
Yeah.
So I think we do very well.
Actually, what would you say? What are you seeing that?
Well, first, I agree with Shel 100%. You know, when some, you know, tenants or residents have these issues that they bring before us, keeping in mind that we are not the only person that they have come in contact with that day.
And this isn't their only issue.
This is not their only issue that they're dealing with today, let alone, you know, what took place yesterday that may have rolled into today. So keeping that at the forefront of our minds. And then two, I think that because of FCS's visibility in the community, you know, we're not just this organization, and we're not huge in number, you know, but we're not this small organization that's tucked away in this office sitting in the corner, you know. We're actually out. People see us. They hear us. They understand us. They know what we stand for. That, and then it was another thing I was, not waiting on an issue to arise to simply make contact with someone. You know, sending them a text message or email, just, hey, I was thinking about you. Or I have one resident in particular, her and I have been working on, we've been working on, she needs some assistance.
Okay.
And we've been working on this for months now. And in between the updates that we're receiving from the other organization, I'll check in with her here and there. Hey, you know, how's it going? Just thinking about you. I haven't heard anything, but, you know, I just wanted to touch base with you. And I think little things like that, you know, they make, they play a big part and they make a big difference. And it only takes, what, 60 seconds, you know, to do that. And I think, like Shel was saying, our character, our character leads us to doing that. It's not, you know, any training or anything that we've received from anybody. It's, you know, just being compassionate and sensitive to people. And I feel like FCS as an organization gets that. And the because we get it, the community understands that, you know.
Well, thank you for this conversation. But more importantly, thank you for the work you're doing every day. Because I think it's because of you guys, we're not just building houses, we're creating a neighborhood where people are at home and they belong.
Absolutely.
And so just thank you for your work and just being able to share your knowledge with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
Awesome. The best way to learn about our housing work and everything else we do is to come and see it for yourself. We love hosting guests in our neighborhood and at FCS. Coming March of 2024, we will be hosting a two-day immersive event that we simply call Open House. Come, meet our team, see the work, and walk the neighborhood. To register, go to fcsministries.org/openhouse. Place Matters is produced by Focused Community Strategies, whose mission is to partner with under-resourced neighborhoods to provide innovative and holistic development that produces flourishing communities and God's shalom. Place Matters is hosted by FCS's training and consulting team. If you'd like to inquire about our training and consulting services, please reach out to us via our website or find us on LinkedIn and social media. This information can be found in your show notes. If you'd like to watch these episodes, the video can be found on our YouTube channel. And if you did like this episode, please share it on social media. Your support means a lot to us. The show was edited by Tim Rose with music by Eric North. Special thanks to David Park and Becca Klein at FCS for their work in organizing and recording these sessions. And we would like to say thanks to our partner, Lilly Endowment Incorporated, whose Thriving Congregations grant has made this podcast possible.